Let's see.
Maybe there's something with the camera?
I don't like this.
Do we need to turn on the camera or something?
It has to turn on by itself.
We might have to see that with IT.
It could function 2 more weeks, you know? It's probably harder, so we cannot do anything about this. Okay, we have another possibility, so well, we shall have this. And we shall have the voice.
That will be recording.
Yeah, recording all this. Huh? Let's do it.
It's just going to be missing the...
Yeah, but anyway. The people in the classroom will see.
Here you are.
Okay. So...
we have some technical problems on the online recording. You will not see Claire and you will not see the black.
Yeah,
you will see the...
We'll have to check that with IT later.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna see the software that relates to what you've seen this morning. So the first one is software for the Miller-Rabin algorithm. So this one, so it's a primality test, so it tests an integer to see if it's a prime or not. I think the example from the class was 561 with a equals to 2. Okay, so here it's, so it checks the algorithm and minus 1 is equal to 2 to the power of 4 times 35. So we're going to use m is equal to 35 and k is equal to 4. And then it calculates b0 for a to the power of m modulo n, b1, which is b0 squared, and so on, until it finds that b3 is equal to 1 with the modulo 561. So we know that 561 is a composite number. It's not a prime. And we can find that one of its factors is going to be 33. This one is nice because you have the steps of the algorithms to check. Next one is a naive factoring of a number. So I think one of the examples in the class was 800,819. And so here we find the two factors, prime factors of n. We can try with any number that you want.
Yeah, so this one is an example of a tricky number for naive factoring, because you will start with 2 and it will not divide this number, and then 3, and then 5, and then 7, and then 11. And the first one that you would find manually would be 400 and something, so that would take some time.
Mm.
So on paper, it would be difficult.
And the problem is that this algorithm relies on having a list of prime numbers. And if the number that you're looking for has a factor that's bigger than the highest prime number you have, then you won't be able to find the factorization.
That's true.
But, yeah.
But online you have very big numbers listed in this software. Nowadays it should be no problem. Because the list that you would have at hand would be big.
It still takes more time than other algorithms. So this one is Fermi factoring. So if we try with the same number, we're going to find the same factors, of course. I thought there was more detail here, but yeah. So yeah, Fermi factorization looks for numbers T and S such that N is going to be equal to T squared minus S squared. And yeah, if the number, the integer you're looking at is not a prime, there is such numbers and you can find them by just testing from the square root of n.
And remember, the factor that you get might not be prime.
Yeah.
So in that case, you would have to continue factoring.
But you can find at least these factors, even if they're not prime, you can find them much easier this way than doing the naive factoring.
Because they are smaller.
Yeah. Then another factorization algorithm. So we're gonna see later in the exercises, the numerical exercises. So if we try to factor, I think in the example was 91. Starting value of x0 equal 1. It does the algorithm, it checks the xi is equal to f xi minus 1 and yi is going to be equal to f of y1 I minus 1. And it uses these numbers, the difference between these numbers, to look for a factor of n. And in this case, the algorithm finds a factor of 7. So you can divide n by 7 and then try again to find the other factors if it's not prime. Next one is the extended Euclidean algorithm. So that's the one that we use to find a multiplicative inverse. So integer a 120 and 17. So here we first use the Euclidean algorithm to find the greatest common divisor, and then we go back the operations to find this equation that gives 1 is equal to 170 minus 7 times 17. And then we can use this to find the multiplicative inverse. I think the next software is just give the answer for that. So I ask for the integer to invert, so here would be 17, and the modulus 120. And then using the extended Euclidean algorithms, it just gives you that the inverse, the multiplicative inverse is going to be 113. And then the last software is the RSA.
That's the simulation RSA.
So the example was with 11. No. I have to. Always forget. So here you put the 2 prime that Bob uses to find his number. So we take 11 and 13, which means that n is going to be equal to p times q, 143. And we can also calculate phi of n, which in this case is going to be equal to p minus 1 times q minus 1, which is 120. Then we have to choose a public number e. So I think in the example it was 7, which we know is mutually prime with phi of 143, because it's prime. So that's going to be Bob's public key. And then using the extended Euclidean algorithm, we can find the inverse of 7 with the modulus 120, which is going to be 103. And then, so if Alice wants to send a message to Bob, equals 5, She can encipher the message by computing C is equal to the message M, so 5, to the power of E, so 7, modulus N. In this case, it's going to be 47. And then when Bob receives the message C, he can decipher it by using C to the power of D, his secret key, modulo N. And thus he finds that back the message M is equal to 5. Okay, so that was it for the softwares for this session. And then we can move on to the numerical exercises.
Yes, we just continue. So you can see that this software you can use to check your results that you obtain. But if you are interested in getting the procedure as well, just introduce some print in this code. Because you can
also. Okay. So the first exercise is with the Jacobi symbol. And we have to find it using not the complicated formula for that symbol, but instead using the properties of the symbol. So I'm going to write everything out.
So suppose that we don't know the factorization of 81
yeah.
81.
And even
otherwise
if
we could do it through the Legendre symbol, but not here. So we don't know the factor. Aha, you're going to write all the rules. Okay.
It just makes it easier then. So you can find these properties so in the PowerPoint of the lecture. Okay, so we were looking for 1801 over 8191. So these two rules are nice because when we have a 0 or a 2 on top, then we can just directly give the answer, but we're going to have some work to do before we get to that. So we're going to use this property. We just need to check if A and N are equal to 3 modulo 4. This is easy to check because it's a bit more difficult to
yeah.
Can you still see what I'm writing from the back? Can you still see what I'm writing from the back? As it's just so 1801 is going to be equal to 1 much before. So we know that this isn't true, so we can just write that this is equivalent. So this is equal to 8191 over 1801. And then we can use this rule to reduce the 8191. Which I'm going to use the calculator for. Any obvious factorization, and
it could divide by 3. However, we don't have a rule for 3, so
no, 3 is useless.
Yeah.
We want to. We look for 2s if we can. So yeah.
So if you cannot use some of these, also we should use the rules in the order 5, 3, 2,
one or 2,
and 4.
One or two other.
Yeah, but if we cannot use some rule, for example, here we cannot use the rule to get 2 over n somewhere because 987 is not divisible by 2. In that case, you just skip that rule. So we go to the next one if we can. Yeah?
So in this case, we're going to use 5 again.
Yeah, so.
We still know that 1801 is equal to 1 modulo 4. So it's just going to be equal to 1801 over 987 using rule 5. Then again, we can use rule 3. Which is divisible by 2. So we're going to use rule 4 to get that 2 out of there.
It's the rule 4.
Rule 4, yes.
Two.
Because I cannot count. Simplify, this time we're going to use rule 2 to simplify this one. We have to check what is 987 modulo 8. So that's modulo 8 is feasible still. Use this rule, and we get a minus 1. So this is equal to minus 207 over 987. Then we can use again rule 5, but this time we need to check if everything is 187 is going to be equal to 3 minus 4, and 407 also. So we get minus 1.
You check that, just use the calculator.
Just
divide by
407 is equal to 7 modulo 4 is equal to 3 modulo 4. And the other one is equal to 3 modulo 8, so it's equal to 3 modulo 4. We get minus 1, there is minus 1. Minus 1 from before and minus 1 from here. Hence 987 over 406. And then we can again use rule 3. The minus 1 simplify, and we're just going to get...
Can you explain why you have minus 1 times minus 1?
It was 1 minus
That's
1.
That's the old one, yeah.
And the other one is from this line.
From this one. But please use the parentheses. This will be canonical. No, no, no. Would you please? Minus 1. Just minus 1. Here and here, yeah. Because we have to be... This is official... calculation.
We get 173 over 407. 173 is still not divisible by 2, so we keep going using rules 5 and 3. So rule 5, not equal to 3 modulo 4, is equal to 1. So we get 407 over 173 by rule 5, which, and then we can reduce 407 using rule 3. That wasn't much. Why did I? Sorry, this is taking a little bit longer.
You have the operation, right?
Yeah. So we get 61 over 173, which still is not divisible by 2. So we go again. 173 is not equal to 3 modulo 4, so we just get 173 over 61. Which in turn, using rule 3.
You see, the numbers are being smaller all the time, so the idea is that you get small numbers.
Then we get to 51, which is going to be more interesting. So we use again property number 5. I'm going to use that for you. 61 is equal to 1 modulo 4, so we get 61 over 51. We reduce it using property number 3, and we get 10 over 51. This is better because 10 is divisible by 2, so we get 2 over 51 times 5 over 51.
So we use the rule number 2.
So we use rule number 2. 51 is equal to 3 modulo 8, So we get minus 1 times 5 over 51. Then once again, we can reduce it using rule number 5. 4 is equal to 1 modulo 5 is equal to 1 modulo 4, so we get the minus 1 from before times 51 over 5. 51 over 5 we can reduce using rule 3.
Are you sure that 51 is 1 modulo 4?
5 is 1 modulo 4.
Ah,
but
five.
I'm sure.
Because 5, 51
no,
50, is
51
not.
Is 3, but
yeah.
5 is...
Yeah.
And then we get 1 over 5, using the 3, 51 is...
So what are we going to do now?
I was just going to do the 5 again.
5 is a prime. So it's a Legendre. So, but it must be 1 because it would be 1 to the power of 5 minus 1 divided by 2.
Yeah. So this 1 is equal to 1, so minus 1 times 1 is equal to
2. So the result should be minus 1 if we have computed correctly, but you can look at the solution and check.
Solution is indeed minus 1.
Minus 1. I hope that everything else is fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, did you understand this? This step. Because 5 is a prime. If this is a prime, then you can use Legendre symbol. This is then Legendre symbol. And Legendre symbol is computed as a to the power of n minus 1 divided by 2. And then it can be 1 or minus 1. Since this is 1, a is 1, so 1 to any power, it will be 1.
Okay. Then exercise 2.
Exercise 2, do not erase these
rules.
Yeah,
I'll keep the property.
So exercise 2 is just the application of it. So in the Solvay-Strasser algorithm, what you do is compute the Jacobi symbol and compute a to the power of n minus 1 divided by 2. And then if these two are the same, then it's pseudo prime. So the answer to the question, is it composite, is no. And then we have to check with some other base. But if they are not the same, then the number is definitely composite. So let's see what happens.
And we set A and
mm-hmm.
So the first thing that we have to do is calculate X, which is going to be equal to A, the Jacobi symbol of A over S. So here we go again.
Ah, I would like you to do something. So this 7019 over 8633. So that's what we have to do. Yeah, you use the rules, you have them on the whiteboard, and start. And we are not going to do everything, but try to do it, because this is an easy procedure where one can make a mistake easily. The rules are used in this order, 5, and then if you can use this one, and then if you can use this one, and then if you can, this one, and then this one, and then this one, and then this one, and this is almost never useful.
5 and 3 as much as you can, and then as soon as you can get a 2.
Yeah, sometimes you can divide many times by 2, we have seen that in class.
I think this one divide twice by 2.
It's possible, yeah.
I did it earlier to check.
Yeah, so start doing this and we should see how you are doing. Because you have to master this procedure as well.
You can find on in TI, I think, the list of calculators that your lab will put in. Or you can try to find someone who has one.
of 61 minus 1 divided by 2. But the same thing. Yeah, so which means what? So we've got that the result is minus 1. So what does it mean? Is it a prime or not?
Then, well, we don't know.
Okay.
X is different from 0, so...
You almost know, because if it were a prime, then it must be 1. Because then it is prime only if this is quadratic residue, if you remember. But you, the algorithm would actually compute that power as well.
Yeah, but for now, yeah, the algorithm just said.
Don't raise it yet. So the next step is to compute
y a to the power of n minus 1 divided by 2.
A to the power of n minus 1 divided by 2. Which is 7019 to the power of 8633 minus 1 divided by 2. And for this, you can, of course, this is too much for a calculator, so you have to use the modular exponentiation. So as we said, modular exponentiation and the extended Euclidean algorithm, you need it for everything. So you must know that.
What is it?
Cannot be.
It never happened?
Never can.
What if you want to
I don't know. I don't know the proof, but the proof is this is a theory that is 300 years old, so I guarantee that it is true. So
Google it.
We are not mathematicians. No. But anyway, what do you get? Yeah, so what happens? 2 over 4? How did you get 4 here? That's the problem, because that never happens.
If you can't get to it, you don't need...
You cannot get it.
If you ever get a 4, 2 over 4, then you've done something
it's
wrong.
It's probably wrong, so that's the problem. It is quite possible that if here it is 2, no matter what is n, you must get either this or that, because this n is not just any n. Must be some n that is probably it's odd.
Yeah, if it's not odd, you can probably simplify.
Yeah.
If you have 4, you know that 4 is not a prime, so you don't need to
So what is plus or minus 1? Modulo 8. So plus 1, you know what is plus 1. But minus 1, that's 7. Okay? And what is plus or minus 3? So it's 3 or 5, you see? So all these are all odd numbers modulo 8. So you cannot get others. And there is no way of getting even numbers here. So that's why. So it, because of that, it is just this or that. You understand why minus 1 is 7?
Yes.
Yeah. And why minus 3 is 5? Yes. Yeah. So these are, so 1, 3, 5, and 7, these are all odd numbers. Modulo 8. There are no others. And the even numbers cannot be. So if this number n is odd, then you cannot get anything else but that.
If that's good for everyone. So we had the minus one.
And now the second part of this Solovay-Strasser algorithm is to compute this value y. And for this value y, you need modular exponentiation because these numbers are big.
Yeah,
so we have that's x.
If it was 0, we would already know that n is composite, but it's not. So the rest of the algorithm, we have to compute y, which is equal to a to the power of n minus 1 divided by 2, modulo. So that's going to be... to the power of 4,316 modulo 8,632. So we're going to use modular exponentiation.
Yes.
Okay.
So we need the binary representation of this exponent, but after the break. 10 minutes break.
10 minutes break.
So what we are having here is the problem with our camera. So it's just not working. Ah, this is S411. A154. You see, so the camera is not showing anything, so we are having this problem. So I'm going to report that, but at this moment there is no help.
But you will see you will hear the voice.
I'm just starting to do it now because it's gonna take forever.
No, it's not working. Okay, we can start now. Recording is on.
Yep.
Okay, so we have this modular exponentiation.
Yeah, so we want to compute this exponentiation, which is a little bit too big for us to do like that. So, like we did last week, the modular exponentiation, first we look at the exponent, we divide it in into a sum of multiple exponents of 2, and then we can write it on its, in base 2, so it's a 13-digit number, which is really fun. Then we can do the table, so in here we have I, and then we have 7,019 to the power of 2 to the power of I. And then we're only gonna take the factors for which here the value is equal to 1. So we're gonna take for I is equal to 12, 7, 6, 4, 3, and 2, which is gonna give us a huge multiplication, which I'm still computing. And we get 5,784. Okay. And in this case, okay, we know that so this is y is equal to 5,784. We see quite obviously that y is not equal to x modulo 8,633, which means that n from the beginning is a composite number. The algorithm states.
Yeah, so it's yes bias. So the question was, is this number composite? The answer is yes, and because of that, we don't have to check further.
This was the first way we tried to check if this number is a prime. Now I don't think we need this anymore. We're gonna try it with another algorithm. So next, we're going to use the Miller-Rabin test instead. So we still have...
Now we know that it's not a prime, but let's see what the other tests will give.
I'm going to know it by another means. At least, I think... Yeah, the answer was that it's composite. No, not this one. Because I have the algorithm here. But so the first thing we have to do is write n minus 1 as... we have to write it as 2 to the power of k times m, where m is not divisible anymore by 2. So in this case...
Just divide by 2 as long as you can.
So once we have that, we have our number k is going to be equal to 3, and m is equal to 1,079. That's how we start. Then we choose a random number. This one doesn't give a random number, but for practicality, we're going to use a equals to 2.
Yes, you can use any.
Two is easy enough to. Yeah. So the first thing we're gonna do is compute b0 is equal to a to the power of n. So the So we have to use modular exponentiation again?
Even more modular exponentiation.
Yeah, but I can also... Maybe I can just keep the modular exponentiation and just get the answer.
Yes, so for homework...
Do this at home, or take the time to do it now.
Yeah, you will do it several times today as well.
This was big numbers as well. 5,965. Seems obvious to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Now, if B0 was equal to plus or minus 1 modulo n, we would know that it's over. We would know that n is a prime. That is quite obviously not the case. So we're gonna keep going. We're gonna calculate B1, B2, and so on until we get to k minus 1. So in this case, only 2. Except this time the b is not going to be equal to the power of m, but it's just going to be equal to the previous one squared.
Mm-hmm.
So b1 is going to be b0 squared modulo n, which is going to be something. No. Yeah, too late. No. Ah.
Get straight. So. Now it's good.
Technology. So we get B1 is equal to 4,632. Which is still not equal to either minus 1 or plus 1. So we get B2 is equal to B1 squared modulo n. And that's... Which is going to be equal to 2,490. Considering we've never arrived at minus 1 or plus 1, if we had arrived at minus 1 at some point, it would have been a prime. But considering we never arrived at minus 1, then we know that it's a composite number.
So it's much simpler than solving Strasser. So there you have to... compute the Cobe symbol and all that, but here you just need modular exponentiation, more or less.
As long as there is not a big factors of 2, it goes very fast. And even then, it's just great.
The solution, I think.
Yeah.
The algorithms are going to be given on a formula sheet. Yeah. Isn't it there already?
They should be.
Go to previous exams, I think. Something like that. If not, then I have to...
I don't know if last year's exam is there, though. Which was it? Oh, yeah, here. So, yeah, here we see... Yeah, with A is equal to 2, we get B0, B1 and B2, and all of them are different to minus 1. So we know that it's composite. Next. We're going to use, now that we know that it's a composite number, we're going to use Fermat's factorization. I can also just write that. We still got n is equal to 8,633, and we want to try it for to find its factor. So we're going to use Fermat's factorization. For that, we're going to look at the square root of n, or like the integer just below it.
Below it or
above
it?
Above it. Below it plus 1.
Yeah.
So we get 92. So we're gonna start at 93. We're gonna look at 93 squared minus 8633. So 93 squared is 8,649 minus 8,633, which is going to give us 16, which is 4 squared. So this one went quite fast. We already have a square. So we have 93 squared minus n is equal to 4 squared. So we can, in this case, we have, if we write it differently, we get 8,633 is equal to 93 squared minus 4 squared. And another way to, we can write it another way, it's also equal to 93 minus 4 times 93 plus 4. And so this is equal to 89 times 97. And thus we have found some factors of n. Now they might not be prime, but then we can use the algorithm again to find their divisors and their,
yeah, now we can do it by
get the factorization.
Trying, because these numbers are small.
So that's Fermat's factorization. This time we were lucky to find 16 on the first try. But sometimes you have to write, try other numbers. So after 93, you try 94, 95, and so on. Until you find something. Okay. Next.
One randomized algorithm, probabilistic algorithm.
Yeah. Oh, this one. I don't like this one.
So all these methods are actually methods of cryptanalysis. That's why we are doing this. So you break the cipher RSA by finding the fact.
Another algorithm to factorize this integer. We're going to use Polar's row algorithm. So we start off with x0, which is equal to 651, and y0 is equal to the same. And then we use a function f of x is equal to x. So what we're going to do is at each step we're going to compute x, so in this case x1 is going to be equal to x of x0, which is equal to x0 squared plus 1. Modulo n. And then y1 is going to be equal to f of y0. We use the function we got. So it's going to be y0 squared plus 1, all that squared plus 1. I was not going to calculate that by hand. So 631 squared plus 1 modulo so we get for x0 And for y1, so we get y0 squared plus 1 is going to be equal to this, because we have the same initial values. So this value squared plus 1 and modulo n.
You get to press equal sign before that. So just cancel everything and move it again. You have to
it still works, I think.
Press this C until everything disappears.
It's just going to be negative my number.
20,600.
Yeah. And then we need to look at the common divisor between this and n.
And for this, we use Euclidean algebra. Okay, so do it once. So 82, 1, 2, 3, and 46, 8, 4. So Euclidean algebra.
To do all the steps because it gets to I equals 7, so that's maybe a bit long. I can do it on the computer if you want.
simply but.
Yeah. So in this case, you find that they're mutually prime. So you move on to the next step. You get to x2, which is going to be equal to f of x1, and y2, which is going to be equal to f of y1. Then once you have that, you look at the greatest common divisor between x2 minus y2 and n. And yeah, you basically do that over and over again until you find a value of xi minus yi that has a common divisor with n other than 1. And then you have found a divisor of
that's
n.
That's the factor.
And that's
but what may happen is that you don't find it. And you get that x2 minus y2 and n, they have a common factor which is n, which means that this difference is equal to n. Then we have the cycle. So then you don't get the answer from this algorithm. Then you have to change the C.
So yeah, what this algorithm does, it just generates random numbers to try to test if they're prime with n in order to try to find a common divisor. It's random and it's a lot of calculation.
Yeah, so for homework, you do this. Run the algorithm. But you have the proof.
Spoiler. If you want to see, in this case we had to go to x7 and y7, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, here. And then you find the common factor of 41. And you have the factorization of n. 8. But yeah, that's a lot of calculations. You can do that for homework if you...
But okay. This algorithm may work for big numbers if you pick the right thing. That's the motivation for its use. The probabilistic algorithm. Mm.
Last exercise, we're going to try to use the RSA cipher. So first we have we know Bob's public key. N is equal to
46927.
And E is equal to
39423.
These wonderful numbers. So first, Alice wants to send a message.
16346.
She wants to send a message to Bob. So what she's gonna do is do a cipher. She's gonna calculate C, which is equal to M to the power of E modulo N. We're gonna have to do minor exponentiation again. When you get to these cases, you understand the need for a modular exponentiation. Is that something I don't think your calculator could give you the answer to that? If you want to have fun, try it yourselves.
They have already tried many times today. So
or we just use the software in this case.
Do it 5 times at home and you will learn. Oh, yeah. But no, it's easy. Once you have this binary representation, which I recognize if you use a calculator for that, I don't mind. So then it's just querying and taking the model. It should not be a problem.
With a calculator, it goes
actually
okay. But with the software, it goes. get the object number of 21,166. So that's going to be the message that the ciphertext that Alice sends. And when Bob gets it, he's going to have to decipher it.
Now Bob has to compute his secret key first.
Yeah. So first, so Bob's prime numbers that he used to get N is P is equal to 167 and Q is equal to
281. But on the exam, since this number is relatively small, this 46927, you can get the task not P and Q are given. So you can get, for example, use verbal factorization to find P and Q. That would be neat.
So, yeah, so the point was that N was equal to P times Q. Now, in order to decipher the ciphertext, we need to find Bob's secret key. In order to do that, we're going to have to compute phi of N. And since N is the product of two prime numbers, it's just going to be equal to P minus 1 times Q minus 1, which is... So now, so the secret key D was the number, so that's D times D modulo phi of N is equal to 1. So that's the multiplicative inverse of E modulo phi of N. So in this case, I'm again going to use software.
Ah. Or not? This is something that you should do by hand, but maybe with smaller numbers next time, because this will be whole page.
These numbers are a little bit big, but the important is that you understand how to get all the variables.
I mean, you clean it out.
If you understand how to get it, you can use the software for the exercises. So what we want to invert is E. So E was equal to 39423. The modulus is phi of N, so 4643.
And this is a typical mistake by the students. They take N instead of phi of N. Then everything is
and then
wrong.
We get D is equal to
2.
So that's Bob's secret key that he's going to use to decipher the ciphertext. So in order to get M from P, he's going to have M is equal to C to the power of D modulo N. So I'm once again going to use software for modular exponentiation. The key of it is that since E times D modulo phi of N is equal to 1, then when you get M is equal to C to the power of D, it was M to the power of E that to the power of D modulo N. So M to the power of E times D modulo N. And there's a theorem that explains that if E times D is equal to 1 modulo phi of N, then this modulo N is going to be equal to
one.
Yeah.
That's this one of many other theorems that we have seen in the class.
So
and you will see this once again when we talk about digital signatures, when we talk about El Gamal.
So I use the software to calculate this, but if you have this in the exam, you're going to have to do it by hand. But it will be smaller numbers than this.
It will not be this big numbers. It will be smaller numbers.
This would have taken time for nothing. So, so yeah. So this is the end for today.
Yep. So I recommend you to do this by hand at home. So if you can do it without a mistake at home, this modular exponentiation of such big numbers, then you will be able to do it on the exam more easily with small numbers.
So that would be all for today. Now I'll see what I can do with the camera in this room. So it's probably a hardware error because before last week it worked. What's the question?
I tried looking for